You're going to have to get a better band. They come in at the wrong time. Thank you. I love those. I love music. Love music. It's a little bit behind the scenes when the girls practice. A lot of times they come to our house, which is just amazing. It's powerful. But one of the things, let me tell you what they're working on, is, you know, everybody here that has been with this family group for a long time, music has always been a big thing with us. And so through the years, you know, we've lost musicians. I cut my tip of my finger off, so I can't play guitar now. But the girls, what we're still, the hope and the prayer is that we can expand our choir. So what they're working on is we've given them each a mission is to recruit a good singer. And, you know, we've got six singers, and if we each bring one, now we'll have 12. And so we're expanding. So if you love to sing, I will tell you, music opens the heart to God in the Holy Spirit. It just does. And Bonnie's got literally thousands of songs, great choir songs that these girls have all sang. And we're still hoping and praying that God's going to supply these people, and maybe the musicians will show up and it'll happen again. We're going through a little slump of trying to figure it out. So we're glad you're with us. We're glad you're patient with all this. But the music, I still love the music. The girls do a wonderful job. But we're trying to expand the choir because you get powerful music, and I'm just telling you, something just happens inside. Somebody told me once when we had the Raise the Praise Choir. Matter of fact, it was Brad Joyner. He said something really powerful to me. He said, I wish I could become the person I feel when I'm up there singing with them. And, it was just a magic time, because when you have that, it does. It allows you to feel what the Holy Spirit, I think, really wants for us. Today, I want to go into the Bible and share with you some things that I hope will help us with this Christmas season, because one of the things that happens during Christmas, as you all know, is it's very hectic. Jennifer and the girl just saying all is well. Well, that's not always true. The Christmas can be enjoyed as an external thing, you know, with the Christmas trees and the presents and the candles and the music, that's all good. But if you don't have internal peace, goodwill to men, then it takes away from life. And it doesn't have to just be Christmas. So what is the secret when the angels came and said, let there be peace on earth and goodwill to men, let there be peace in your heart? Jesus is a God. He was a representative of peace. But where is the peace? There's a lot of, Kathy Watson's mom is in hospice. Kip Goff just buried his father. We have people that are, going through a lot of things. And yet we sing these songs and we... Is it real? In other words, how can God help us? And it doesn't matter what age you are. You can be very young and not have peace in your heart. You could be struggling with all kinds of things. So there's some lessons that I think if we would learn them, that we can actually understand what that peace is. And the peace comes, it's truly, Jesus is real. The Holy Spirit is real. It is something that will come into your heart and change you from the inside. But there are lessons in this book that help you have the peace that God wants for you. And I want to start with a scripture today that I think can begin answering some of these questions. Before I read this, I will tell you that, you know, I spoke about this summer. I think we were out of the park yet, and it's a great illustration that if you take white carnations and put each one of the white carnations in a different colored, like you put food coloring in four different things. You can have, you know, red and blue and green and orange or whatever color you want. You put a white carnation in there, that flower will begin sucking that color up and it'll change the white carnation into whatever color that they are immersed in. And what God gave us this book is our way for us to stay connected to His words, which will change us from the inside. The more of God's word you put in your heart, the more peace and love and this understanding of a grand plan you're going to have. You're going to have. Jesus came to give us the good news. And the good news is not only for when we die that there is something more, but the good news should be for here. He wants us to enjoy peace here and now in this time. But how do we do it? Because this world is complicated. It's not easy. So I'm going to read to you from the book of Philippians where Paul is talking about this peace. You've heard this, many of you that have read through the Bible, you've heard this verse before, but I want to break it down in a little bit more detail to you. It says, be anxious for nothing. In other words, it doesn't matter what's going on in the external world. Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. And supplication is just, it's like a prayer, it's pleading for pleading for something humbly, and in this case, we're pleading for peace. Help us have this peace, Father. So be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which will surpass all understanding. In other words, no matter what's going on, you can have the peace of God regardless of how bad everything works. That's what this verse is saying. The peace of, that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds. This is crucial. Minds meaning your thoughts through Christ Jesus. And then it goes on to say, finally, brethren, and here's kind of the answer. Well, how do we get this peace? He says, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, in other words, upstanding, wonderful, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, whatever things are, if there is any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, he says, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and then the God of peace will come into you. So this right here is a huge lesson on how do we achieve peace in this world. Because there'll be nothing greater than for all of you to get with your family and friends, regardless of what is happening. There is a way for you to receive the peace of God. And I've told people over and over, if you have the peace of God, you can go through anything and not fall apart. And it comes from a couple things. One is that no matter what happens here, you are so loved and so cared for that when we get to the other side, when we walk through the door where this life stops, when we walk through that door, there is going to be something so amazing. Immediately we go into God's presence, and it's all about love. And it'll be love like you've never known. So that exists for every person here. But now, God wants you to have some peace here and now. Because He needs us in the church to be that, to help other people who are struggling with life. And all of us in here have struggled with life in one way or another. But what He's saying is, listen, it starts with the mind. See, back in the fall, back in the Garden of Eden, I talked about that. Your hard drive got corrupted, and it's like, you know, don't pay any attention to God. Don't worry about God. You can have a good life without God and all that. You are corrupted in that way. Everything in this world was corrupted from the fall in the Garden of Eden. And what He wants us to do now is God, all through this, last week I told you about in the desert, you know, once we were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, which was the first sanctuary, and a sanctuary is a place where people go and meet God. That's where God communicates. It was a sanctuary. Eden was the first place where mankind, when God created him, and we are created in the image of God, walked with God, hand in hand, face to face, and spoke with one another. And that's the way it was supposed to be. That's when we would know this complete peace. Well, that's many, many years ago. And because of sin, and the reason that we sin was God had to make us of creatures of choice. And the reason He did that, I'm going to recap real quick so you can follow me through this. He had to create us as creatures with choice. He had to make it so we could decide not to follow Him and not obey Him and not love Him. We had to be creatures that could make up our own mind, because that is the only true way that true love is. In other words, and I talked about this last week, if God would have created us like a robot where I had to love Him, it's not true love. Love has to be of choice. So He made us of choice. That's why the angels fell. He gave them choice. There was fallen angels. So the first sanctuary of the Garden of Eden, we chose not to obey. Sin entered, and God, being perfect, cannot be with sin. So He separated us. He booted us out of the Garden of Eden. Couldn't be in that sanctuary anymore. He could not be with us. Broke His heart. He hated it because we are His children. You know, we're talking about Brett and Savannah. They're not here because of the little baby Cooper, which Grandma's been spoiling rotten already. And the reason they're not here is because all the new rules. You know, you can't take a kid out. He can't be touched. He can't be out in the public. You can't do this, not before the shots. I told Kathy Watson the other day, starring her, I said, it's a wonder we aren't extinct. Because when we were young, it was like, here, pass them around. You're licking the kid. You're kissing the kid. It's, you know, you pass him around the congregation. It's not that way anymore. Now it's like, oh, my goodness. No, you got to, you know, the alcohol wipes come out. You got to, you know, get in the microwave and fry all the germs off. It's just, it's insane. But that's the way it is now. But eventually, we'll bring Cooper and we'll, you know. But right now, hands off. Things change. So, we're out of the sanctuary, and God loves us because we were created in His image. We are created in God's image, the image to create, so we have our own children. And again, the reason I think God did that for us is so we would understand the love that God has for us. There's really nothing our kids can do that we will stop loving them. No matter how bad, don't listen to this, Jake. No matter how bad you are, your mom's going to love you. But you should be good. God loves us. He didn't give up on us. So what did He do? Well, He talks to Moses, the burning bush, and tells Moses, listen, I want to help your people. I want to set you aside. I still want to be in relationship with you. But now, since you sinned, we're going to have to build this tabernacle out in the desert out of tents. And, you know, He instructed him how to build this place. And he made a sanctuary. And there was this inner sanctuary. It was called the Holiest of Holies. And it was the only place that God could meet mankind when they went through this whole big ritual. The priest had to go through a ritual, and a couple times a year they'd enter the Holiest of Holies, and God would speak to man. Because God missed the relationship. And he would talk to the priest, and the priest would come out and tell the people what God said, and we need to do this, that, and the other thing. And then eventually, you know, Solomon, David's son, built the huge brick temple. And then that's where God would meet mankind. The sanctuary. A sanctuary is where God meets mankind and communicates. And so, you know, the Jewish people, they'd have these festivals, and they would show up, and they would do their sacrifices according to what God wanted, and He would meet there. The problem was, is it became very automatic. It became routine. Man wasn't even thinking about the whole, actually meeting God. They just knew they had to go there with a bull or a ram or a goat or a pigeon and do this thing, and it was a big festival. You know, we all like festivals. And that wasn't working. The relationship was still broken, so God's thinking, what are we going to do? So He sends His Son, Jesus Christ, into this earth. That's what this Christmas is about. Why? Because God wanted a relationship with us, so He came as a human so He could live with us and talk with us and eat with us and experience things that only we experience as humans. God had a whole new grasp of, my goodness, all this stuff that humans have to go through. And so when Jesus was crucified, He broke the bonds of sin because of what He gave us. He sacrificed Himself so this relationship could be reunited. God wants to be in a relationship with us. And now the sanctuary is not here. We might call this a sanctuary, but because of the Holy Spirit, God came to live inside of us, and now this is the sanctuary of God. This is where God meets us now, right here, in our heart. We come together to lift one another and share with one another and help one another understand all these words so that we can have peace and love and joy in this life as we wait to pass into the next life. It's a beautiful plan, but it gets lost. And so we're talking about peace. Where's God's peace? Where's God's peace? It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. And God says, you have to change your mind. You have to change your mind to receive this peace. Because here's the deal. The Bible says that as a man thinketh in his heart, as the man thinketh in his heart, so is he. In other words, his thoughts, your thoughts are going to determine who you become. You can become an old, crotchety, miserable person, depending on what you think about. Or you can allow thoughts to lift you up and carry you into a beautiful place and a beautiful relationship with others. We are created in God's own image. Now think about this. When God created the heavens and the earth, it's that he used words. He obviously had to think. He said, let there be. Let there be, and there was. That's how He created. And He made mankind. And if we go way back to Adam and Eve days and we looked at the earth, we wouldn't see any buildings. We wouldn't see any cars. We wouldn't see any cell phones or telephone poles or roads or medicine or jet planes or rocket ships or televisions. None of that existed. But here's the cool thing. God made us in His image. We create by what we think and what we start saying to one another, and then it becomes a reality. Everything you see in here at one time didn't exist, but God gave us the capability to create. The bad part is we can create some really nasty things too, depending on what's up here. You think about, Jesus says you've got to be very careful about what you allow in, what we allow in here. If today's day and age, you've got all these shootings going on. So many times I think, these kids get involved in these, I've never played one, I don't know, but they got these games where all it is shooting and robbing and destroying and blowing up and killing. If that's what you're saturated in day after day after day after day, and we're wondering why all the problems are, is because we are programming this computer into things not of goodness. What does Paul say? He says, listen, here's what you should put your mind on. Things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things of good report. If there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, think on, meditate on these things, and then the peace of God will be with you. And we wonder about people who, you harbor these thoughts. Listen, if you're angry, if you're angry inside, you're just angry, I'll tell you why. It's because you're having angry thoughts. You're thinking about something that's making you angry. If you're a happy person, it's because you have happy thoughts. If you're a bitter person, you're thinking about bitter things. I don't know, we call them, when I was young, we bought albums, records. They were on vinyl. And then, it became 8-tracks or whatever. That was a miserable failure. And then there were CDs, and now there's not even CDs. I don't know what it is now. Tapes and CDs. So I'm going to use tapes and CDs because it's MP3s or something now. I don't know. But here's what I ask you, you know, to put this in perspective, especially you young people could understand this better. If you went and bought your favorite song, Taylor, I don't know what it is. What's your favorite song these days?
Oh, Happy Day.
Oh, Happy Day. That's a good one. It really doesn't matter. Whatever your favorite song is, Oh, Happy Days. I like Oh, Happy Days. But if you went and bought this, and let's say it's on a CD, I'm going to say CD, whatever it is, and you put it in the player, and you start playing your favorite song, but it had a skip in it. There's something wrong with it. Would you keep playing that song over and over and over because of that skip? You know, just like it's in the middle, it ruins the song. It skips over, there's something wrong. It was a defect. People going, absolutely not. I'd take that CD, I'd either throw it away or take it back to the store. Of course you would. Nobody would sit there and listen to a song that was recorded wrong. Or there's a defect in it. I mean, that you would say, well, that's nuts. Nobody would do that. And yet that's exactly what we do with all the old hurts, all the old aches and pains, all the things that make us angry, all the things that make us bitter, all the things that we've never forgiven. I'm going to hold on to it. And so you play it over and over and over and over. And then you wonder why Jesus said, you know, a man speaketh out of the abundance of his heart. In other words, his mind. If you're talking to someone who's just angry and not nice and nasty, it's because that's the thoughts they're having inside. They've been hurt, they've been wounded, and they're going to let you know about it. This world is broken. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and God's saying, listen, I know there's this bad stuff, but let it go. He's called it forgiveness. Let all the bad stuff go and begin meditating on the things of God and all the good stuff that is going to happen to you eventually. But you can be part of a flower garden here and now. You can be part of a symphony, a beautiful song here and now. The problem is people are playing noise in their mind. And so noise comes out, annoying noise. I'm just going to rehearse this over and over and over. Push the repeat. It's just like listening to a broken, messed up, bad recording. But that's what we do. It's not helping you. It's not solving any problem. All it is slowly defeating you. And it's sucking all the joy of what the Holy Spirit really wants for His people. He wants you to be happy and joyful in spite of what's exterior going on, because God wants to be in a relationship with you. And the way He does it now is you don't have to go to a temple, but man, we'd still like it when you do. It's here. It's here. And when you get a family of people that have the Holy Spirit within them and they're allowing all the junk to get out of their life, put it on a shelf. Listen, the Bible says you can't help when some memories and thoughts come in your mind. We all have them. We have improper thoughts. Sometimes we think about things that were really bad. I mean, I can go through my library. I can go back. Even things within the church. I can tell you stories that blow your socks off. But what's the point? It's not edifying. It's not good. It's not just. It's not worthy. It's not worthy of God's presence to even go there. You know, Jesus wants us to take those books and those tapes, lock them in a vault, and leave them go, and allow Him and His mercy and His love to fill us. He wants to fill us so that we can have joy and peace. But you will not have joy and peace if your mind keeps going back to, oh, this person hurt me. This person did that. This person did that. That's why Jesus said, forgive, forget, love your enemies. The reason He told us what I call the upside down kingdom. Do good to your enemies. Feed them. Feed your enemy if they're hungry. That was nuts. People was wondering, what, who would say that? It's because God wants you to have His peace here and now in the midst of chaos. The problem is people, you know, there's external chaos, but what happens is people allow that chaos to enter them in here. You get the political parties, they're both They're going nuts with each other. It's just internal chaos. God says, listen, I'm in control. It's going to be good. But listen to me. Take control of your minds. Take control of your minds. As a matter of fact, I wrote, and there's dozens of them actually, but I want to give you a couple of these. It's just how much the Bible talks about it. In Isaiah, he says, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Talking about God. In Romans, for to set the mind on the flesh is death. In other words, all the bad stuff. But to set the mind on the Spirit of life, Jesus, is peace. In Galatians, the Spirit, these are the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. We talked about that. And on and on and on. It's about the mind. You have a choice. You were born with a choice. I say, God says, put them in captivity. Take those bad thoughts, put them in captivity, lock them away, and love and allow all the goodness and mercy and love and the things of the Spirit to grow within you like a garden. Let me close with this. In the Old Testament, here's the Israelites had been in the desert for 40 years. There were only two people from the original tribe that were allowed to go into the promised land, Joshua and Caleb. They were the two spies that originally said, hey, we can take this. We can take this land, 40 years before. But the leaders decided, no. The Canaanites are way too big for us. They're too tough. They're too mean. So they wandered for 40 years. So now it's time. Moses has died. Yeshua, similar to Jesus, is going to lead them into the promised land. And so there they are at the Jordan River. And at this time of year, the Jordan River is flooded. It's the time of year when it's wide, the current's fast. And they had to cross that river to get into the promised land that God had promised them. So God told Joshua, he said, take the priest and have them take the Ark of the Covenant and begin walking into the river with the Ark of the Covenant. So the priest did that. And when they did, the river backed up. And the river backed way up so that they could walk across on dry ground. It was like a reenactment of the spreading of the Red Sea. It's so the new generation can see what God can do in your life. He can take things that look impossible and make a way. If you believe Him and trust Him and step out in faith, I'm asking you to step out in faith and put the bad thoughts away and allow the love of Jesus Christ to come into your life. So here it is. The priests are out there with the Ark of the Covenant. It's this big box that's all gilded and gold that has the Ten Commandments and some of the manna in it. For remembrance. It's all for remembrance. So you remember the things that God did. And as the people, and supposedly there was a couple million people, they crossed the Jordan River dry, just like they did in the Dead Sea. And as the people were getting across, God spoke to Joshua and said, I want you to take one of the leaders from each of the 12 tribes. There were 12 tribes of Israel that went across. He said, get a leader from each. So there's 12 guys chosen, one from each of the 12 tribes. And he says, what I want you to do is tell them in the middle of the river, gather up a large stone, the largest they can carry, and bring it across with you. And when you get on the other side, I want you to build a monument with these stones. So Joshua had these guys, and they're carrying these big stones across, and they're making this big pile on the other side. And God says, the reason I want you to do that is that will be a memorial, a way to remember what I have done for you, so that in years from now, when generations come across this pile of stones, you go, what in the world is that? You will have a story to tell them, let me tell you what God did for us when it seemed impossible. It was a way for them to think back and remember. To remember, God has a plan. He will be with us. The stories in this book are all like the boulders in that memorial. All of these stories are to help us remember what God has done and will continue to do with anyone who's willing to turn their life and listen to His instructions. It will change your life. That is the good news of why Jesus came. To connect with us and say, listen, I know it looks hopeless. I know you're going through this. I know you're going through that. But look back. Remember of all the things that Jesus did, that what God did in the Old Testament. He wants to be in a relationship with you. He wants to change things so it's not just crazy in your heart. He wants you to put that aside and focus on the things that are good, that are beautiful, that are wonderful, that are loving. Become that person. Dwell on those thoughts, and then you will change. You will change inside of what you're thinking. It's a grand master plan. It's so beautiful. It's so wonderful. If you can grasp it, you will understand why God needs His people to come together and to be reinforced. This family, this little group right here can literally change thousands of people if you understand this and begin walking in this. You all will become like a boulder, a thing of remembrance, a thing of peace, a thing of joy to all the people you meet. God will put you in places for you to be Christ to someone. It may be through prayer. It may be through kindness. It may be from giving. Our life, the upside down kingdom, it's all about us becoming a servant to the broken world. That is where the joy and the peace will flow. And things change. I know because I've lived it. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. It's an amazing plan. What a beautiful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus and the plan He's given us. Father, we're grateful to be gathered here today. We thank You for Your words, for the boulders, for the remembrance, for the stories. But give us the strength and the inner energy. Come and meet us in this sanctuary. Help us to clean out our closets. Let us let go what we need to let go. Remind us. Let us become that person that You will have us be so that we can serve in this broken world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.